Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome. Happy Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across civic media. I'm Luke Mathers, broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's near west side for Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM, and around the state, like up in Amory, Wisconsin, on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM, all our friends up there in the Northwoods. If you want to share a tangent with me here on this Wednesday afternoon, 844-967-2789. We'll take tangents all hour long. You can call or text. And for the entire hour, I am joined by the one, the only, William Walter for a Wednesday with Will. How you doing, my friend?
Hello, hello, party people. I was waiting for the applause track to kick in as I was looking around my bedroom, waving to the inanimate objects and my dog.
Evan's asleep behind the wheel. So we're just going to have to, you know, Evan.
I didn't get my on a Wednesday drop either, Ev. What's going on today?
It's coming up in a little bit.
Yeah, you don't get it all at once. You don't get it all at the top. What are you doing?
That's true. That dopamine would just like override my system and I'd be useless for the rest of the show.
Well, we appreciate Evan on the board, despite the lack of laugh tracks, or excuse me, applause tracks. That's what you wanted. Not laughter. You wanted applause. My apologies, Will.
My ego needs it.
I really hope that we queue up some laugh tracks going forward, though, because I think that would be better. I always like them. Those drops are fun. But folks, if you want to share a tangent with Will and I, again, the number all hour long, 844-967-2789. We've got so many Wisconsin headlines that we're going to get to. We've got an update with some appointments to volunteer boards down in Kenosha County that we're going to discuss, along with the interesting player that has entered the chat room for April 4th's spring election, and so many more. But to kick off, Will, this is one that it caught my eye yesterday as I was getting off the air, and it seems like it's par for the course for Republicans now here in Wisconsin and nationally, and I feel like it's something that needs to be called out, and I'm speaking of the anti-science nature now that has become a tenet of the Republican Party, because we now are seeing signals from members of the legislature here in Wisconsin that they're prepared to knock down requirements surrounding vaccines. And this isn't just COVID-19 vaccines. This is vaccines in general. And so the attack on science here in Wisconsin is on full display with these lawmakers that are going to go, and this is a fight that they are going to take now against the medical field, against science, against protecting children's health. And it's a very interesting war to wage, Will, and I'd love to get your take on it, but this is the headline over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Republicans signal they will block policies requiring meningitis vaccination for seventh graders and new rules on chicken pox. And so this is a lasting effect from the COVID-19 pandemic, Will, that I did not see coming, but I guess it shouldn't be all that shocking. And reading from this piece, the headline I read to you is put together by Molly Beck over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Republicans who control the state legislature are signaling they would block new policies put forward by Democratic Governor Tony Evers that require seventh graders to get vaccinated against meningitis and create new rules for chickenpox vaccinations in school-aged children. This is wild. Are they the party of pro-meningitis and chickenpox? Or what are your thoughts on what these Republican lawmakers are signaling, Will?
Oh, the irony, of course, is this is the supposed facts over feelings party, right? Like, I thought that was like the war cry for the past like 5 years, ever since Ben Shapiro was given a microphone. I want to say, particularly with the COVID vaccine, what I heard from a lot of conservatives, I mean, we've discussed this on the show before. We're well aware that my neck of the woods is a little bit different than your neck of the woods. The ideologies you're going to see from people in the suburbs of Milwaukee is going to be different than what you'd hear in the Madison area or Milwaukee itself, or, you know, what I consider rational individuals. But a lot of the conversations that I had of people who were unvaccinated in regards to COVID, I would say, you know, dude, you went to public high school with me, which means you are vaccinated against a number of different things. Why is this different? And the argument would always be, I'm not anti-vax, because, you know, the connotations of anti-vax is now you're getting into like the Aaron Rodgers realm of using eating clay and using,
the new age medicine,
new age medicine type stuff. Right. Which, you know, to each their own. However, in this situation, the science for years and years and years has shown that with highly transmittable diseases and viruses, it makes sense to have protection, particularly among school age children who are, you know, confined in tight areas amongst themselves for hours and hours and hours at a time. Now we are seeing that despite a lot of conservatives originally saying it's just this COVID vaccine because it got rushed, I'm not anti-vax, I just don't want the COVID vaccine because they didn't have time to prepare it and yada, 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 which again, because COVID, you know, SARS-CoV-2, it's very similar to the SARS virus of the late 90s. This, they had been working on this for a number of years. It's not like it just came up overnight. It was known that a viral pandemic of this kind was possible. Now, conservatives are, of course, taking that next step, moving the goalposts back a little bit to say that it wasn't just the COVID vaccine that we are against. We are now against longstanding vaccinations that have been required for years and years and years, particularly, you know, with the meningitis vaccine. I believe it was 2005 that it's been required since. Yeah. So recommended by the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices since 2005. This is not new. And a booster has been recommended since 2010. This didn't just come up overnight, right? And the importance is, as you know, you touched on briefly earlier, particularly with diseases like meningitis or chickenpox that are very, very contagious. Mm-hmm. Part of protection is based on a high level of group immunity, which prevents the diseases from taking hold and spreading through the population. Very common with, measles is kind of the prime example of this.
A lot of infectious diseases, you need a herd immunity to be able to fight against it. And folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. And Will, the interesting part, though, as well, is this is... Yes, it was a novel virus. We did not know what COVID was going to be. We know what meningitis is. We know that there are steps that can be taken and vaccines like a meningitis vaccine that just are common sense. And Republican lawmakers are now deciding that, oh, well, I didn't really like the politics around COVID, so we're just going to continue to fight this war and wage this war against all vaccines, not just COVID vaccines. And more than a million Americans died since the COVID-19 pandemic began. And to act like... the vaccine.
It's very pro-life, Luke.
Oh, I mean, as you always like to point out, Will, the hypocrisy is part of the point, though, for what Republican lawmakers like to, how they like to conduct themselves. And so
yes, sir.
The fact that there is now this anti-science, anti-public health aspect of Republican lawmakers, we're only going to see trends like this continue, where there will be waging wars against requirements that are put in place and have been accepted protocol to protect our children's health, like a meningitis vaccine for seventh graders. Like, this is it is almost mind-numbingly dumb to be so anti-science. And the fact that this is where the Republican caucus is here in the Wisconsin legislature is just outstanding.
And you can see, too, Luke, that they're just taking their cues from national culture war issues and bringing it down to the state level. I mean, this piece, Molly touches on this very well. Ryan Westergaard, who is the essentially the decision-making head. He is the Wisconsin chief medical officer. He's been the face of the state's COVID-19 pandemic response. Mm-hmm. And of course, he's been heavily criticized by Republican lawmakers. Direct quote from committee from the Joint Committee for Review of Administration Rules co-chairman Steve Nass, Republican senator from Whitewater. How can I trust you? Honest to God, when I see you, I refer to you as Wisconsin's Dr. Fauci. They are just taking their culture war issues that have succeeded at the national level and dumbing it down to the state level. So, like, so obviously that he is quite literally taking the comparison that I just think you're our version of Dr. Fauci, somebody who's been demonized by right-wing media throughout the nation, so that he can try to apply that tag to Wisconsin's chief medical officer to sow distrust amongst Wisconsinites and to try to push his agenda that has been supported by extensive lobbying from groups such as Wisconsin United for Freedom, which has long argued against vaccine requirements. And of course, they had their own speaker who is, what's the name? Tara, I'm not going to be able to pronounce this if the C is silent. Zach Kaur, the co-founder? I don't know.
Your guess is as good as mine. For I am terrible with last name pronunciation.
And what is her quote, of course? We are fully capable of making our own decisions and running our own lives. No college degree required. The state has messed with my kids, all our kids, enough.
Yeah.
So quite literally saying, I don't care what your education tells you. I don't care what your years and years of experience in the medical industry tells you. I'm a mom, so I know what's best for my kids, and I'm sick of you trying to tell me what to do.
The death of expertise on full display here in Wisconsin with the Republican legislature signaling that it is prepared to strike down vaccine requirements for school-age children. Chickenpox also worked into this one as well, but we can touch on a little bit more and jump to a few more tangents and headlines. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Wednesday by William Walter. If you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. We're going to get to a couple other Wisconsin-based headlines here, but it is it's a nice little Wednesday for a ton of different tangents, and we're thrilled for you to be joining us here on Civic Media. Again, the number to share a tangent, 844-967-2789. Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back. Won't you hear by my side? I'm Luke Mathers. You can follow the show on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. You can tweet us your tangents there as well. Just keep them to 280 characters. If you want to share a longer tangent, you can do that on the phones or either call or text 844-967-2789. Joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter and talking about the Republican-led legislature signaling their anti-science stance now of ready to strike down vaccine requirements to protect seventh graders from meningitis. Just taking this culture war that they have now adopted from the COVID-19 pandemic and just creating a tenet of it as a political party now. And it's very interesting. One of the other tenets of the Republican Party here in Wisconsin would be the at least pretending like Milwaukee and Madison just don't matter. And it's a very interesting stance to take, Will, and it's on full display again with the most powerful joint committee in the Wisconsin legislature. The Joint Finance Committee determines what goes in the budget and will be sent to Governor Tony Evers for signing of the biennial budget. And they're hosting some listening sessions. It got announced yesterday, Will, that they'll be going around the state. Only doing four, most powerful committee in the legislature, going to do 4 days of hearings around the state.
To be fair, Luke, it is in April, which is like a month and a half later than the legislature wants to be working. So,
it's an odd number of years. So they expect to be working till about June, I believe. They do plan for about a half a year's of work during an odd number year. Will, it's not an election year. It's not an even number year. They're not looking to pack up shop at the beginning of March or April. They are prepared to do at least some work until June, and they're going to hold these listening sessions. And they're not holding a single one in Milwaukee or Dane County. And I find it strange that the two most populous counties in the state just get ignored, Will, when it comes to these listening sessions. And maybe they will hold one as well, and just not listed yet for here in Madison at the Capitol. But ignoring Milwaukee, the state's largest city, and pretending like they don't have to hear from individuals in Milwaukee is just a very, very fascinating stance for the legislature of a very purple state here in Wisconsin to take.
It's on brand. You don't support the way they look at it. Well, you don't vote for us, you don't support us, why would we support you? Implying it's a zero-sum game and not that they're public representatives who are paid by our tax dollars.
Yeah, it would be the... It's just a game that they're playing, Will, is really what it seems like. And they're going to play the game by... And the interesting note is the first session, guess what day it's scheduled for?
this I think was the funniest point that had to be mentioned.
Yeah.
I know the answer, so I don't want to ruin your punchline. I'll let you take it.
It is scheduled. The first listening session by the Joint Finance Committee is going to be held the day after April 5th, the day after the spring general election. So they are truly, I think it is going to, how much bipartisanship we see here in Wisconsin in 2023 is going to be completely determined by the outcome of the April 4th election.
Yep, 100%. They're very well aware that this election is going to have immense, immense results throughout the state. And they would like to be as well prepared as possible by knowing the answer. Now, you know, is it coincidence? No. I mean, we both know that.
It couldn't
but, be. What are the odds? If you schedule this public hearing the day after the election, does that mean you're not going to contest the election? Does that mean that when you...
Well, it all depends on what the margin is. They could delay this hearing on April 5th if they really wanted to. But 4 weeks from today, the Joint Finance Committee is going to be hosting their first listening session on the budget. And I have a feeling that if Dan Kelly is to come out victorious on April 4th and the majority stays 4-3 in the favor of conservative justices on the state's highest court, Republicans in the legislature, elected Republicans, are going to take a more hardball stance. And they know that they will have an ally then in the adjudicator of any disputes between them and the governor's office. But if the say majority switches with the election of Janet Protasiewicz to the state's highest court, and she becomes the next Supreme Court justice here in Wisconsin, I have a feeling that there may be a little bit more moderation coming from the legislature, the Republican-led legislature here in Wisconsin. And maybe I'm reading too much into this. Maybe it is a coincidence, Will, but I don't know if it is or not. Folks, you're listening.
Yeah, I'll take no for 500.
You're going to take no for 500? Oh, come on. You've been watching Jeopardy recently. There's no odd number hundreds anymore. It's all evens. Come on. 200, 400, 600.
I actually did not know that.
What? Oh, come
Thank
on,
Thank you
man.
For clarifying. I don't watch Jeopardy. I'm sorry.
You need to improve your afternoon viewing habits then, Will. But,
I'm not
but
Aaron
you
Rodgers.
You have an excellent afternoon listening habit, tuning in for Dueling Tangents here across Civic Media. If you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. We see those phone lines lighting up, so we will get to them this upcoming segment. But if you have a take on what you think is going to happen at these listening sessions, what if they are actually filled with individuals that say Governor Tony Evers' budget is a good image of what we'd like to see instituted over the next 2 years, say it's like the public hearings surrounding the map drawing last year. If they are pro in favor of the Evers' proposal, do you think Republicans will hear him out, or do you think it's going to be all tossed out to the side? We'd love to hear your thoughts. Share your tangents with us. 844-967-2789. I'm Luke Mathers, joined by William Walter on this Wednesday afternoon, and you on the phone lines. 844-967-2789. Dueling Tangents is going to be right back. We're going to get to your calls and more headlines when we return. Green Bay, WGBW listening area. Karen from Green Bay, what's on your mind this Wednesday afternoon, Karen?
Well, hello. I'm glad to find a nice talk show here in Wisconsin. I've relocated back from 30 years on the West Coast, and I am in the Democratic Party. I've voted Democrat my whole life. I've taught science for 15 years. I'm a licensed health insurance agent. And when the Democratic Party starts talking about mandating things based on science, I start getting nervous. I really do. You know, just take one mandate, your pets, right? I'll bet you have a pet and you get a rabies shot every year. Is that correct?
Yes, my dog gets his rabies shot every year.
Okay. The natural occurrence of rabies in the wild is less than 1%. And if you do, see, this is the kind of stuff, like, I almost hate getting into this with Democrats because they think they are the party of science. And one of the things that we are denying are, look at Robert Kennedy, right? He's white trash now. If you've ever listened to any of the documentaries he's put together or his book, The Real Dr. Fauci, you would see real science.
Real science funded by who, Karen?
Exactly. Did you see Bill Maher the other night with Richard Branson take on MSNBC over ivermectin? Again, I have
the horse dewormer.
Healthcare. Contracts with Humana, contracts with most of the insurance sold in this state. When you buy a plan from me, you get a plan book. There's a formulary in the plan book. It says, here are the drugs we will cover. Ivermectin has been on the market for about 60 years.
Not to treat COVID-19, Karen. Karen, not to treat COVID-19. It is, yes, on the market as a dewormer and not used for widespread science and FDA approved to treat COVID-19. It is just not the case. And to have individuals during the worst global pandemic that we had in 100 years say, well, don't trust the science. Don't the medical marvel that was the COVID-19 vaccine, that is the COVID-19 vaccine, the funding that we put behind an effort to use the research that we had on this type of vaccines that was, as Will pointed out earlier in the show, in development for years. But to fast track that and get
worldwide
it prepared,
funding as well. Remember that the vast majority of the world came together for this.
Yes, it was a mobilization effort that we had not seen since World War II. And so the fact that all the scientists got behind a vaccine to allow us to better fight against this novel virus. And then we have a certain set of politicians here, and it's not just that Democrats are for vaccines and Republicans are against it. It is a small, select group of Republican lawmakers that have decided to be platforms for these anti-science using a study sponsored by this individual or whatever it may be, putting it up on there saying ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine?
Hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah, these unfounded, non-actually backed by science cures, quote-unquote, to COVID-19, because any other response surrounding the vaccines became hyper-politicized by those elected officials. And so, I'm sorry, Karen. We really appreciate you listening and calling in, but those are not founded cures to COVID, and it's, I'm not going to provide a platform for that to be floated out there. Continuing on, though, listening in the Green Bay market, we got Steven calling in. Steven, what's on your mind this Wednesday afternoon?
Hey, Luke. And, well, so I have something to say, and I was actually with the last caller until the very end when she let me down. But I will say this. Donald Trump made a comment when the first time he was running for president that the one of the reasons why he became a Republican is because the Republican base is basically stupid and he'll get the votes because they don't know any better. Well, I really think the Republicans as a party kind of adopted that platform. And the Republicans either need to do one or two things, wake up or get a better education, because the Republicans are now not only filling your brains full of stuff that's not true and making you hate groups of people that you shouldn't hate, but now they're starting to take your health care away from you and starting to say that certain vaccines that are designed to keep you alive are no longer needed because we feel like it's no longer needed. There's no science behind it. It's a very dangerous trend I see going on, and they're only going to keep upping the ante as long as it's allowed and these people, you know, do exactly what they tell them to do. So I think it's very important, not only as Democrats, but as citizens of the United States and of as the state of Wisconsin, where, you know, we need to sit down and maybe have some uncomfortable conversations with people on the other side and say, hey, this is what they're doing. And, you know, maybe come equipped with some resources to show them. So that's all I got to say today.
And we appreciate your phone call, Stephen. And yeah, those conversations need to be had. And it is, it's really telling that the Republican lawmakers just believe that there is a constituent. Because let's be honest. Stephen asked when he originally ran to be, I believe he was in the state assembly, and he's now a state senator. I believe he's been in the Wisconsin legislature for some time now, Will. And when he first started out his political career, I highly doubt this anti-vaccination platform of his now that he is pushing for knocking down this vaccine requirement against meningitis in seventh graders, just requiring seventh grade students in public schools to get a meningitis vaccine to prevent the spread of meningitis here in Wisconsin. I highly doubt Steve Nass was like, yes, this is a policy proposal that I want to pursue, and this is why I'm getting into elected office. No, there is a constituency now that has grown since the COVID-19 pandemic that there are voters out there that are getting very riled up over this, getting very riled up over this anti-vax movement. And yes, you alluded to kind of the new age medicine of the Aaron Rodgers types out there that were historically anti-vax. And now these kind of QAnon individuals think that it's potentially the theory against why you shouldn't be vaccinated was because Fauci and Bill Gates were trying to insert 5G microchips into you with the vaccines. Like, that's the craziness of these theories of why individuals shouldn't have been vaccinated during
the pandemic. I think we got to touch on something too, Luke, is like science is such an overarching term, right? That could be used to describe any, like, you can't just say like, you know, XYZ science, blah, blah. Peer-reviewed journals and peer-reviewed studies exist for a reason, so that people that are in the industry, if they have irrefutable proof that X, Y, or Z is false, this kind of thing won't get published in a peer-reviewed medicine journal, correct?
Right.
So you think about, you know, play telephone with 10 of your friends when you were a toddler, how difficult it is to get 10 people to even be able to recite the same message down the line and keep it the exact same throughout. Now apply that to a nation of 300 million or a planet of 7 billion people with something as monumental as, you know, the COVID-19 vaccine. If there was irrefutable proof that ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or any of this kind of stuff was not only effective, but more effective than the vaccine that was being provided, it would be provided. That's not to say Big Pharma has not used this opportunity to capitalize and make as much money as they can, because of course they did. That's what these businesses do. But two things can be true at the same time, that it's both beneficial to help the population and to make money, which is, I think, what most industries are kind of predicated on.
Right.
And when you talk about scientists that disagree, you know, well, 99% of scientists say X, Y, or Z. I could go on Google right now and find somebody that would be considered...
You could go cherry pick.
Right, that would be considered a scientist that would say the Earth is flat, right? Like, these type of people exist, and they could be, you know, that it might be someone with a doctorate degree, but that doesn't mean that the community as a whole of experts back this idea.
Yeah, and one of the best examples is in conversations around climate change. When there's 97% of climate scientists say that climate change is man-made, there is 3% of scientists out there that then say that it's not. But you also have to look into the research that those 3% of climate scientists are saying is the reasoning for why it's not man-made. And then you look, and those studies are sponsored by ExxonMobil and the American Chemistry Council, and it's like, oh, really strange how the exact organizations that are propping up your anti-man-made climate change theories are all funded by the people that don't want to actually address climate change being man-made, because it's the fossil fuel companies that are benefiting from having the status quo and us burning fossil fuels. And so,
we could get 100 people in a room, Luke, ask everybody what 2 + 2 is. If somebody says 5, does that mean we could realistically make the argument, hey, you know, 1% of the population thinks that 2 + 2 = 5? Like, it's
the science is out. It's very, very, very just frustrating that science gets twisted that way. And one of the other frustrating things of what's going on with Republican politics here in Wisconsin isn't all just happening in the Wisconsin legislature. And Will, I'm joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. You're listening to Dueling Tangents, folks. If you want to share a tangent, 844-967-2789. One of these other instances is down in Kenosha County. And this is kind of the looking down the coach's tree sometimes when you see the NFL coaches of who's now running teams from who was previously serving under other head coaches. And now we can see politics in Kenosha County that have branched off from a previously serving individual in the Wisconsin legislature for the Republican Party. And it is down in Kenosha that we are now seeing some pretty interesting appointments come from an executive position for the Kenosha County executive, Samantha Kirkman. She named three individuals with some questionable backgrounds, Will, to voluntary boards down in Kenosha. And some of their backgrounds may surprise you. And we're going to continue this story on into the next segment as well, but I want to get started here. Headline over at the Wisconsin Examiner. Tensions rise over Kenosha County appointments to emergency and equity panels. Three appointments to volunteer boards in Kenosha County have sparked uproar in the community with echoes of the unrest that rocked the city on the shore of Lake Michigan more than 2 years ago after police shot and paralyzed a black man. On Friday, Kenosha County Executive Samantha Kirkman named a controversial self-styled militia leader to a county emergency planning committee. On the same day, she named two people to the county's Racial Equity Commission, a retired police officer who killed a man in custody 18 years ago, and an attorney who was part of the defense team for Illinois teenager Kyle Rittenhouse, who killed two Kenosha protesters and wounded a third, and was subsequently acquitted. So, these are the types of individuals that Republicans are appointing to local government committees here in Wisconsin, Will. And it is just very hard to believe that these are the people being elevated to positions of power at the local level.
Especially when you look at his background. For example, we are referring to Kevin Mathewson, who's the founder of the Kenosha Guard Militia Facebook page, who was appointed to the Local Emergency Planning Committee, a specialized panel that deals with cleanup of chemical spills. Uh-oh. Oh, sorry. Can you not hear me?
Nope, you cut out there a little bit after the spills part, but that's okay. We're going to continue on with this story and talk about those individuals' backgrounds and take your tangents if you've got any more out there in the listening audience. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. If you want to share a tangent, give us, we got plenty of time. One more segment left in the day, and then we're more than halfway done with the week, folks. So you want to get those tangents in if you have them. We'll continue sharing these headlines when we get back. To Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to our tangents across Civic Media here in Madison, Mad Radio 92.7, and around the state on the Civic Media app, which you can download wherever fine apps are downloaded on your smartphone and other devices. Just search Civic Media in those app stores. You can take us with you on the go, wherever you go. Joined on this Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. And Will, are you at all surprised by these appointments by County Executive Samantha Kirkman down in Kenosha, or are you like me, kind of, this is par for the course now? This is what we've seen.
Oh, it's par for the course, baby, par for the course. I mean, we got to touch on it briefly before the break. I wanted to note the background, I guess, that Mr. Mathewson has that, you know, made him supremely qualified for this position. He was a former Kenosha alder, so he had been elected previously. However, he works as a freelance private investigator and publishes a website that covers crime news and political topics in Kenosha County. What that has to do with a, I don't know, something like a local emergency planning committee that specializes in dealing with cleanup of chemical spills, I don't know. It just seems like friends are putting friends in important positions so that friends can protect their friends if something were to hit the fan.
Yeah, I get that vibe that there's kind of some back scratching going down in Kenosha County. And Kenosha, historically one of the bellwethers of the state, Will, and it is pretty troubling to see that this is the far right kind of jolt to individuals like this in charge down there in Kenosha County, when historically a very, very purple county. And so it's going to be something interesting to keep an eye on going forward, but troubling appointments all around. The attorney for defending Rittenhouse in court and just very, like, I feel if you have a commission, and this is the Commission on Equity, and you appoint somebody...
Racial and Ethnic Equity Commission, yep, yes. Which was created in April of 2021, 8 months after the Blake shooting, in response to the shooting.
Yes, and so to put somebody that had anything to do with that trial, just very interesting decision by County Executive Kirkman's office. So something to keep an eye on there. Something else to keep an eye on, and jumping from tangent to tangent here, is who's getting involved in this April 4th election here in Wisconsin. We're going to have our spring general election coming up less than 4 weeks now, 4 weeks from yesterday. If you want to make a plan to be a voter on Tuesday, April 4th, head over to myvote.wi.gov. Again, that's myvote.wi.gov. You can request an absentee ballot. You can make a plan to in-person absentee or early vote beginning in about 2 weeks from now. That will be underway. Or you can just make a plan to be an in-person voter, like I prefer to do, on Tuesday, April 4th, and participate in our democracy, because there's a lot of people not only here in Wisconsin that are getting involved in this election, Will, but from around the nation. And
have you always been an in-person voter, Luke, or did I convince you with my people watching?
No, I've preferred it that way, but during the pandemic, gotcha. I kind of took advantage of some of the early in-person, so you kind of get the best of both worlds, not as long of a line as same day voting, but still You get the thrill of going in and using the machine to be able to punch your ballot. And so always preferred voting the morning of Election Day. Big fan of that. But kind of a little hybrid model, if you would, since the COVID-19 pandemic.
Fair.
But Will, one of the headlines that caught my eye when kind of getting ready for today's show, and a name that it felt like it rang a bell, and then it wasn't until you and I were discussing it that it really came into full picture. But this is the headline over at Up North News here in Wisconsin, our friends at Up North News. The headline, "Man Who Helped Overturn Roe Comes to Wisconsin Supreme Court Race, Which Will Decide Abortion Rights." And it's a very thorough piece written up by Kia Vakil for Up North News, talking about Leonard Leo.
And that's a name, by the way, that if you don't recognize, read up. That is a name that everybody in not only Wisconsin, but in the United States needs to know.
It's a name that you're going to hear more and more and more since the Dobbs decision last summer. And it rang a bell, and I was like, why does that sound so familiar? And the piece outlines him as the judge whisperer for the Trump administration. But I was like, that doesn't seem like the connection. And then you pointed out that he's the individual behind the largest donation to a dark money organization in the history of the country, Will. So let's share with the listeners a little bit more about Leonard Leo.
So industrialist Barry Seed, I don't know if I pronounced that right, but he's a very famous manufacturing billionaire, ultra secretive Chicago businessman. And he gave the largest known donation to a political advocacy group in U.S. history, $1.6 billion. This was a story that was covered moderately last, I believe the end of August was when this happened. And the donation was given to Mr. Leonard Leo and his dark money super groups that have been throwing millions and millions and millions of dollars into these causes all over the country. Now, Seed is a 90-year-old manufacturing magnate. So, you know, he seems to recognize my time is coming to an end, wanted to move his money elsewhere. And by giving $1.6 billion to the Leo Network, who, again, the judicial kingmaker, right? One of the most prolific donors in the country, has been aggressive in pushing the overturning of Roe v. Wade. I don't think we can possibly explain in proper terminology just how impactful this individual can be with that much money behind him.
Well, and
now
he's
able to spread out across the country. He's coming to Wisconsin. Like, that's what this money can do.
Yeah, Leo, this is reading from the piece by Kia over at Up North News. Leo is turning his attention to Wisconsin, where control of the state Supreme Court is up for grabs on April 4th. In February, Leo donated $20,000, the maximum amount allowable by law, to right-wing candidate Dan Kelly, who previously served as the president of the Milwaukee Lawyers Chapter of the Federalist Society, a organization that Leo was heavily involved with. Leo exited his full-time role at that society in 2020 and now runs a network of shady dark money groups, as you alluded to, Will, that have spent more than $500 million spent reshaping American society already by Leo's organizations. And so that's who's coming to get involved in this April 4th spring general election. You out there in the listening audience, you need to make a plan to vote as well, because everybody, that is the equalizer. Everybody's got one vote. There's going to be a lot of money spent by individuals like Leonard Leo here in Wisconsin ahead of the spring general. But when it comes, push comes to shove, everybody gets one vote. And you should make a plan to be a voter on Tuesday, April 4th today. Really want to thank you, Will, for joining me on this Wednesday afternoon. Truly appreciate it. Folks, if you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, friendly people.